We'll continue in our time of worship through opening up God's Word. Vamos a abrir la palabra de Dios esta mañana. And the scripture reading is going to come from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. 1 Peter, chapter 1, 19 to 25. La escritura de hoy va a venir del libro de Primera de Pedro en el Nuevo Testamento, capítulo 1, versículos 19 al 23. So if you have your Bibles, please go ahead and open them up. We're on this sermon series that we're calling Resurrection Community, leaning into our new reality together. So I'm going to ask Sandra once again to go ahead and read the scripture for us in English. I'm going to read it for us first in Spanish, and then Sandra will read it for us in English. Voy a leer la escritura primero en español.
Amen.
Y después la hermana Sandra lo va a leer en inglés. Primera de Pedro, capítulo 1, versículos 19. Voy a empezar el versículo 21 al 23. Por medio de Él, de Jesucristo, ustedes creen en Dios, que lo resucitó y glorificó, de modo que su fe y su esperanza están puestas en Dios. Ahora que se han purificado obedeciendo a la verdad y tienen un amor sincero por sus hermanos, ámense de todo corazón los unos a los otros. Pues ustedes han nacido de nuevo, no de simiente perecedera, sino de simiente imperecedera, mediante la palabra de Dios que vive y permanece.
Amen. And I'll be reading from 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 19. And it says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Amen.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gracias a Dios. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Gracious God, we thank you and we give you praise that you meet us, Lord, today in this day. And we pray that today you would speak to us, Lord, in a way that is clear, in a way, God, that is direct. Would you manifest yourself? Manifiéstate, Señor, ante nosotros esta mañana por medio de tu palabra, Dios Santo. And Lord, we just pray that you would give our hearts an openness, give our minds an openness to hear from you. Meet us today, Lord, in our questions. Meet us in some of the burdens and anxieties that we bring in here today. Encuéntranos, Señor, en nuestras dudas y en nuestras preguntas. Lord, would you help us and hold us and comfort us in the loneliness that some of us experience, God. Help us to believe, Lord, that we are here for a purpose. Ayúdanos a entender que todos aquí estamos aquí por un propósito. And God, we thank you that you're constantly moving toward us in redeeming and restorative love. Nos vas a redimir y restaurar. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not done with us yet, but you're continuing. You're transforming us, Lord. And the work that you started, you will bring about to completion. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to continue in this sermon series on 1 Peter that we're looking at in the month of May. Vamos a seguir adelante en estas enseñanzas en el libro de Primera de Pedro en la Biblia. And we're going to couple the passage that was just read for us by Sandra with a passage in Galatians chapter 5, which is written by another early Christian leader by the name of Paul. So Peter and Paul knew each other very well, and we're going to understand this passage in light and connected to the other passage in Galatians 5, which I will read for us in a few minutes. But here at Imago Church, we're a community that functions in particular ways. We're a community that functions not by the law or tradition of people, but we're people gathered together to experience new life by the Spirit. Dios nos llama para tener nueva vida por medio del Espíritu Santo. The one who connects us is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that connects us with God and with each other. And it's through this Spirit of God that we can experience new and transformed lives. We are a community that functions through grace and truth. We give each other grace and we speak to each other in truth and love. We don't function here by law or tradition, but we function by life in the Spirit. Aquí funcionamos por medio de vida por el Espíritu Santo. So here at Imago Church, we don't gain authority by titles, but we gain authority, respect, and trust by our testimony and by Christ-like character. So you see in your bulletin some of the leaders that help lead this congregation. And we see many leaders here amongst us. And I know that God is going to develop more and more men and women after the heart of God. And really, the basis for that, and the basis for our current leaders right now in their leadership role, is not simple title, but it's character and testimony. And so, those are the two criteria that we see even throughout the scriptures in the New Testament. What makes a leader in the household of God or with the people of God is Christ-like character and testimony. El testimonio y el carácter es necesario para el liderazgo espiritual. So here in this passage, the Apostle Peter talks about purity. This need to purify ourselves through the Holy Spirit. And this is actually a theme that Peter touches on throughout the scriptures several times and throughout this book, this theme of purity and holiness. A este tema de la santidad, de la purificación. And really, when we look at what holiness is according to the scriptures, holiness is not talking about halos around our heads or suddenly glowing and levitating. No, that's not holiness. Holiness is being set apart for God's purposes through testimony and through Christ-like character. So again, holiness leads to greater freedom. Holiness is an invitation from God to be who we were created to be. I love how it says it here in this other passage that I mentioned, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13. It talks about what we were created for, something so much greater, something so much more. We see in Galatians 5:13, it says this, I'll read it for us, in el libro de Gálatas, capítulo 5, versículos 13, dice, ¿cuál es el propósito de nuestra vida? It says this, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. That's part of the call of holiness. Holiness leads us to freedom. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ama a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. Toda la ley se resume en ese solo mandamiento. So what is this telling us? It tells us, as followers of Jesus, that the way that we live shapes the image and the idea that people have about God. La forma en que vivo da forma la imagen o la idea que la gente tiene de Dios. And this is true for all of us. Mothers, we're celebrating you today. You know this is true even for you, in your motherhood, in your parenthood. For all of us that have had an opportunity to be parents, we know that this is true, that the way that we live shapes the idea that our children have of who God is.
La manera que vivimos impacta la manera que nuestros hijos ven a Dios.
Now, I learned from just experiences in the past. Some of you know that I did youth ministry before, and I've worked in the public school system before, and now I'm raising two children. And I've learned a very hard truth that was very shocking to me, especially when it came to my kids. And it's this, that my kids will not always listen to me. Believe it or not, I was shocked. I think I had this idea in my head of what parenting would look like, right? Like those 80s and 90s TV shows where I can be that dad that just gives good advice all the time and the kid immediately does it and then we all hug it out at the end of the episode. But no, the dream and the reality are so much different, but the reality is so much better because it's real. It's going in the trenches. It's navigating some of that chaos on a day-to-day basis. But it's going to have so much more impact because the way that we live will shape the way that our children see God. And I've said this before to some of us, and I've learned it to be true, and I'm sharing this because I've learned it the hard way, that our children will not always listen to what we say, but they will always observe everything that we do.
Nuestros hijos no van a obedecer todo lo que les decimos, pero van a observar todo lo que hacemos.
The same thing goes for us as followers of Christ in how we engage with the world. Whether we think we signed up for this or not, the fact is that the way that we live shapes the way that the world and our neighbors think about God.
La manera que vivimos impacta la manera que el mundo ve a Dios.
Again, the way that we live shapes the way the world and our neighbors think about God. We witness to a God who lives. We witness to God with our very own lives, with our actions. We witness to God in the way that we conduct ourselves. The way that we act and the actions we take, the words that we speak, all of those things will be deeply implanted, especially in those that are in our circles, those people that may be far from God. Our actions, our ways, our love, what we say, what we don't say, the way we act, the way we don't act, all of that will shape their vision of God. The call from the scripture in this passage is a call to live by the Spirit.
El llamado de esta escritura es un llamado de vivir por medio del Espíritu Santo.
And to live by the Spirit is to live in freedom. It's an invitation to take that next step, to break that ceiling of tradition and of law and of religiosity or of rebellion, to now take that next step in freedom, to be who we were created to be.
La santidad es una invitación a ser las personas que Dios nos creó para ser,
to be who we were created to be. So holiness and purification that Peter is talking about here, that's an invitation. It's an invitation not just of freedom from, because we all know the list of freedom from. Freedom from bad things, X, Y, and Z, things I don't want to do anymore. Holiness invites us not just to freedom from. And it's not just a freedom to do whatever I want when I want, right? That's adolescent freedom. That's a level one freedom that some of us experienced when we were teenagers. But even as we're adults, we still hold on to this. Oh, I just want to do what I want when I want. That's low level freedom. True freedom that Peter's inviting us to, that the scripture invites us to, is not just doing what I want when I want.
True freedom is knowing that together we are working towards something bigger than just me. True freedom reminds me that I am responsible for myself, but I am responsible to you. We're interdependent in true freedom. True freedom is actually an invitation to go past the I'm going to do what I want whenever I want. It's going past the I'm just going to go with the flow. True freedom is an invitation to refuse passivity. It's an invitation to accept responsibility. It's an invitation to lead courageously. That's true freedom. That's what living by the Spirit invites us into. Esa es la libertad de Dios, a vivir para algo más grande. So, once again, holiness, this holistic holiness, is an invitation of freedom, not just from, but it's a freedom for. Freedom for life in the Spirit, to be who we were created to be. It's a freedom to be a resurrection community. It's a freedom to lean in to our new reality. La santidad es una invitación a ser nuevas criaturas. Where we get to live beyond the traditions of people or of society or of religiosity, but now we're living a new life by the Spirit. And you know what? The Scriptures tell us, and we know this is true, that life by the Spirit tastes a particular way. In Galatians 5, Paul even calls this the fruits of the Spirit. You and I have experienced this once in a while. When we talk to someone, when we've encountered someone that lives life by the Spirit, we know that they taste different. Galatians 5 even tells us here, verses 22 to 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." El fruto del Espíritu es amor, alegría, paz, paciencia, amabilidad, bondad, fidelidad. Ese es el fruto del Espíritu. So the fruits of the Spirit actually affirm that we, as a resurrection community, that we, as a people of God, we are to taste different. After that encounter, people need to know that we as God's people taste different. We're made new because we've encountered someone new, so we that has made us into something new. We see here that this invitation goes so much far beyond just a freedom from all the rule keeping. No, it goes beyond that. It's a freedom from destruction in order to gain freedom for flourishing. Es una libertad de la destrucción para ganar libertad para florecer. It's a freedom from foolishness in order to gain freedom for wisdom. It's a freedom from resentment in order to gain freedom for forgiveness. It's a freedom from stinginess in order to gain freedom for generosity. God frees us from self-destruction and frees us for flourishing. Dios nos libera de la autodestrucción y nos libera para florecer. Now here, what Peter's talking about for us is to go the next step, to go deeper. Don't just stay at the shallow end or at the superficial end, but go deep in your freedom. Because holiness is holistic. La santidad es entera. So the holiness of God and life by the Spirit will actually transform every part of who we are, our insides and our outsides. Holiness is holistic. Again, Peter talks about this later on in this book that he wrote in 1 Peter. He says, in all of your conduct. For those of us who follow Christ, that means every aspect of our lives. Every aspect, from our thinking, to our actions, to our habits, to our character, the whole person. Because when we're really honest with ourselves, we know that all of these areas of our lives are deeply connected. We know that our thinking leads to our actions. Our actions are what lead to our habits. Our habits are what make our character. And the character is the person. That's who we are. So God wants to transform the whole person. Holiness is an invitation to full transformation. God is not just interested in redeeming our church selves or our religious selves, but our whole selves. Dios quiere transformar nuestro ser entero. Now, this is what we hear on Sunday. This is what I even speak on Sunday. But this is not always the way we live out, right? This is not always the way that we look at it or the way that Monday begins. Sometimes the way that we go about it is we think to ourselves, well, you know what? It's Sunday. I've done that hour and a half. I've done what God wants. So now I can go back to doing whatever I want. That low freedom, right? Doing what I want, when I want. No, but the invitation here is so much deeper. We can't just stay at the periphery. We can't just stay at the distance and say things like, yes, God, you can have that time on Sunday, but you can't touch my finances. Yes, God, you can have that song, but you can't speak into my sexual conduct. Yes, God, you can have that God bless you to my brother or sister, but you can't touch my anger or the anger I blow up in at home. And God, you can't touch my time. But friends, when we live that way, that's living at a distance. That's living, that's swimming at the shallow end. God wants us to go deeper, to experience the true joy of holistic transformation. Dios nos quiere invitar a vivir vidas transformadas. So freedom in Christ begins with God. And freedom and this journey with God will require action. Again, this is one of the themes in 1 Peter. It says it, I think, in chapter 2. He says, prepare your minds for action. La libertad en Cristo comienza con Dios y la libertad requiere acción. So friends, let's be clear about this. If you don't want to grow as a disciple, if you don't want to grow as a follower of Christ, if you want to stay in the shallow end, then there really is only one thing to do. Just to do nothing. But if you want to take that next step in trust, to experience the joy of going around the entire ocean and the pool as it is, to see holiness, to grow in Christ, then that will require action from your part. Crecer requiere acción. For some of us, it's going to be a back-to-basics action. For others, it's going to be learning a new action. And those actions that I'm going to suggest today are actually three ancient practices that the people of God have used throughout history and throughout the world. And I'm going to give you the fancy name first and then the regular name. So those three actions are called invocation, meditation, and celebration. So what exactly is invocation? Invocation is prayer. Prayer is entering into the presence of God. It's thanking God and calling out and crying out to God for help. It's going beyond just the transaction where God, I'll do this and you give me that. No, it's entering into the presence of God and trusting God with our lives. And there's this other part, meditation. Meditation is meditating on the Scriptures. In the Scripture, we see God's living Word. And we will see how we're shaped and formed by that word on a daily basis. And then this third part, celebration. Celebration is what we do here together on Sundays and during midweek with Worship Plus One. Fellowship in the church is actually the community event of prayer and Scripture. That's where it all comes together. So when we're inviting you to take a few minutes after service just to connect with God and each other, we're not just inviting you to a donut. We're inviting you to experience this new life together, to go deeper, to go wider, because holiness is holistic. La santidad es entera. Some of you can be thinking, well, you know what, Pastor Carlos, the truth is that I'm a really busy person. And I'll just mention one thing about that. I know we're busy. Everyone's busy. That's just the reality. And the fact is this, too. Let's name this. That in our culture, busyness is a status symbol, right? Well, the busier I am, the more important I am. And the more important I am, then the more self-worth that I feel. But really, I think that the invitation of holiness, of whole transformation, is actually an invitation to self-leadership, where God is calling us to lead our time rather than be led by our time, right? Otherwise, we're just going like a chicken without a head from one place to another. God calls us to lead our time, not just be led by our time. So some of us can be thinking, well, nonetheless, Pastor Carlos, I'm still really busy. If I can only do one of those things, if I can do prayer, or if I can do fellowship, or if I can do time in the Word, which one should I do? And when people have asked me that before, I've had to respond with another question. I'll ask you, well, what do you think? Which wing is more important for the eagle to soar? The right wing or the left wing? Tell me, which one's more important? They're both equally important. Without one or the other, the eagle will fall. And so in the same thing, our prayer enfolds into our time in God's Word. Our time in God's Word impacts our time in fellowship. Our time in fellowship impacts our time of prayer. It's all connected. Todo está conectado en estas prácticas espirituales. I love the way that this invitation is actually an ancient invitation, and it's happened throughout history. People being transformed by the Spirit. Esta invitación de ser transformados por medio del Espíritu Santo es una invitación de Dios. And there's this writer, I've quoted him before, you know about him, Clive Staples Lewis, better known as C.S. Lewis. And he actually wrote in one of his books about people that have been transformed by the Spirit and what these people are like. So this is pretty interesting what he says about those who have experienced holistic transformation. C.S. Lewis says this in the end of Mere Christianity. He says, already the new transformed people are dotted here and there all over the world. Some, as I have admitted, are still hardly recognizable, but others can be recognized. Every now and then one meets them. Their very voices and their faces are different from our own. They are stronger. They are quieter. They are happier. They are more joyful. They will not be very like the idea of religious people or of church people that you have formed in your mind or in your general reading. They do not draw attention to themselves. You tend to think that you are being kind to them when they are really being kind to you. They love you more than other people do, but they are not dependent on you. They will usually seem to have a lot of time. You will wonder where it comes from. When you have recognized one of them, you will recognize the next one much more easily. This is just a little description of his observations of what life in the Spirit looks like. And I love that line where he talks about time. They will usually seem to have a lot of time, and you will wonder where it comes from. So some of you may be asking, so when, Pastor Carlos, when is the right time? When is the right time to go from the shallow end into the deep end, to learn to swim? Well, the time is now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. Hoy es el tiempo de arrimarnos a Dios. Because the reality, and here's the funniest thing about time, that we're all going to learn eventually. Time belongs to God, not to us. Surprise! Time belongs to God, not to us. We exist in time. Just as the earth belongs to God, the creation belongs to God, time is a part of creation. We exist in it. It doesn't belong to us. We're not in control of time.
El tiempo le pertenece a Dios. No tenemos el control del tiempo.
It doesn't belong to us. Instead, we're called to steward time. To steward time just as we steward our finances. And as a resurrection community, leaning into our new reality, we give generously of our time and of our finances. God calls us to steward these. And I'm never going to forget this. I've shared it with some of you, and we'll end with this. One of my mentors, when I was in my 20s, was actually a professor, and she was absolutely brilliant professor. She was an author, a lecturer, high demand all over the world, all of that stuff, and she never missed church on Sunday. And on top of all of this, she was a mother, so she handled all of that. Lara Buchek is her name. You can look her up. But she once told me this. I took a couple courses with her, and she said this. God, she reminded me of a very important truth about God. She said, remember this, Carlos. If you give God the time, He will give you the time. If you give God the time, God will give you the time that you need.
Dale a Dios el tiempo y Él te dará el tiempo que necesitas.
So really, whether we're taking our first steps or our next steps, whether we're Christian or non-Christian or on that journey somewhere, may this message, this invitation to life by the Spirit, may it not cause you more burden or anxiety, but may it be a joyful invitation from God to live a life of flourishing. And rest assured, not in your own abilities, but in God who promises that He will never let you go. He will never give up on you. So keep going. Take that next step. He'll meet you there. Jesus offers to take you right where you are, right now, and to take you where you need to be. He's committed to remolding you and creating you into that new person.
Fuimos creados para ser gente floreciente que refleja la imagen de Dios.
Friends, brothers, sisters, you and I were created to be flourishing people, to be people that live by the Spirit, to reflect God's image, an image that is holy, holistic, and transformed. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord, we thank you that you love us too much to leave us where we are.
Nos quieres demasiado, Señor, para dejarnos ahí como estamos.
And Lord, we thank you that nothing scares you. None of our weaknesses and none of our strengths really impress you, God. We thank you, Lord, that the work that you began in us, you will bring about to completion.
Te damos gracias, Señor, que la obra que empezaste en nosotros vas a traer a completación.
And Lord, we just pray that you would take us. Here we are, Lord. During these last two songs, we just want to pray surrender.
Nos queremos someter a ti, Dios Santo.
We just pray that your will would be done in and through us. Make us new. Make us into the people that you created us to be, O Lord. People that reflect your image. People that reflect your holiness. And people that reflect your transformation power, God. We love you, Lord, and we dedicate the rest of this time together, Lord, to you. And God, we thank you that this life that we're on is not a race. We're not racing or in competition with each other, but we're all on a journey. And thank you, Lord, that you are going to do amazing things in that journey, greater than we could ask for or even imagine. Te damos gracias, Señor, que vas a hacer cosas grandes en nuestras vidas. Lord, bless the rest of this time in worship. It's in your name we pray. Amen.